Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Ryan Dorfman, your host today with The Cave Show. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get to it. Let's begin with some baseball. Some news yesterday. Fernando Rodney blew a save. The Diamondbacks lost a three-game series to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Three straight games, three straight losses. Highlighted by last night's blown save by Fernando Rodney. Came in, the Diamondbacks had a 4-2 lead. It was 4-1. It was 4-1. Rodney comes in, gives up four runs, walks four batters, blows the saves. Dodgers walk off. Behind Justin Turner's single to left. It was only a matter of time before this was going to happen. The guy, everyone was heralding him for not giving up a run since, like, May, and then he comes in and he gave up one or two runs a couple of days ago, and then he comes today, yesterday, comes in last night, and just at the absolute worst time against the worst opponent, against the one team the Diamondbacks don't want to lose to, he blows the save. Would have been a great win for the Diamondbacks. They would have walked away with one out of three, one win and two losses, which isn't, you know, it's not great, but you know, I would have taken that. But, of course, Fernando Rodney comes in and blows the save. He gives up four runs, walks four batters. In my opinion, this is one of the worst closers in baseball. Everyone was saying how good he was, but I was saying for so long, all right, this is going to be the game he blows. I said, just wait. He's going to blow up soon. And there it happened. There it was. Last night, he blew up and gave up four runs, four walks, and blew the save for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So not exactly what we wanted from him. Rudy Gay going to the Spurs. I want to talk about this briefly. I think this is one of the most underrated signings this season. If you don't believe me, or if you do believe me, if you disagree, agree. Either way, tweet at me. Hit me up on Twitter, at Ryan Dorf. Let me know your opinion on this. I think this is one of the most underrated signings of the offseason. I think the Spurs are going to know exactly how to use this guy in their system. There's been some trash talk about him. A lot of people I know have been saying that he's not that good and this and that. But I like Rudy Gay and the Spurs. I think he'll be a nice addition to that team. And he'll play well in the Popovich offense. Vince Carter going to the Sacramento Kings is something that I don't understand. This is a guy who's 40 years old and is, 20th season in the league. There was an interesting fact that the recent first round pick by the Knicks, Frank Ntilikina, he was born like a month or something after Vince Carter and Dirk made their debuts, and that was like 19 years ago. So crazy. And the assumption was that Vince was going to join a team like the Warriors. He was going to join a team, maybe like the Cavaliers, the Spurs, somewhere where he could, you know, join a contender and get that ring. But instead, he takes a one-year, $8 million with the Kings. Head scratcher, you know. He said he wanted to play for a contender, and then he goes out and he joins the Kings. So, not exactly sure what he was thinking there for someone his age. God, I would have retired. I mean, yeah, $8 million, but the guy is, I mean, can you think of how much he's made already in his career? I mean, it's Vince Carter, Vince Sandy, all that marketing, you know, all that popularity. I mean, this is – I have a head-scratching move here from Vince Sandy. I'm not understanding this. NBA Summer League is in full swing. There are some – the usual suspects are the ones that are really playing well. Luke Kennard, Jason Tatum, Markelle Fultz, and you got guys like Jaylen Brown, who's really playing well. And then you got some surprises like Donovan Mitchell, and Bam Adebayo, the Miami Heat. Now, when this guy was drafted by the Heat, I wasn't feeling it. I was really skeptical of what he was going to bring to the table. I wasn't loving the pick. I wanted them to take Donovan Mitchell, actually, come to think of it. And Mitchell's really playing well. But Adebayo is really surprising. He's really playing well. And I would watch out for the Miami Heat next year. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Miami. I'm saying that because they had like the second, or I think they might have had the best record in the second half of the season last year, in the East, that is. Not in the West, but in the East. Behind guys like Dragic and Whiteside and James Johnson. Now you're going to add Adebayo in there, and Kelly Olynyk and Deion Waiters is there. And they've got a really solid group of players on that team that I really like. They're still lacking, obviously, a superstar, which is really what would take them to that next level. I didn't really think that Gordon Hayward was. I don't think Gordon Hayward is a superstar. He's a star. He's not a superstar, though. So I don't think that really would have. I don't really think that would have made that much of a difference. It wouldn't have made them a contender to beat the Cavs. I think it's playing like Paul George might have, you know. Paul George is a borderline superstar, in my opinion. Jimmy Butler is like a borderline superstar, you know. Those kinds of guys would have been better than Hayward. But obviously, you know, Butler's on the Timberwolves and Paul George is on the Thunder. So that's not going to happen for Miami. But this is a very good team, and they're going to surprise a lot of people again next year. A recent trade was made. Avery Bradley is headed to Detroit for Marcus Morris. And when I first saw this, I was scratching my head and I was asking myself, why in the world would they do this? Why would they do this trade? And the trade just... It's definitely something that I'm going to talk about. I got Tony, the Cuban Cowboy, Cabo Bianco on the line. Tony, how's everything going? Are you there?
Ryan.
What's going on?
What's up, buddy? I'm not Cuban, nor am I a Cowboy.
Okay, so we got Paul Richardson on the line, who said he was not going to call into the show. What are you doing on the show?
Hey, man, you know, I figured you needed me since you were talking basketball and you had one right prediction in the last year.
One right prediction in the last year, yeah. Well, it's a great thing you called because you are at Summer League right now. I'm assuming you're still in Vegas at this point.
Not till Monday.
Oh, you're not? Oh, so you're going. Okay, you're going to see Josh Jackson.
I'm going to see who?
And Lonzo. You're going to go see Josh Jackson. That's who you're going to see. You're going to go see Josh Jackson and Lonzo Ball in the air.
And LeVar. I called him.
Oh, you called LeVar. I'm sure you guys are going to sit down for a nice drink and have a talk.
Exactly. So I heard you talking about Boston. Am I correct?
Yeah, I was talking about the trade that we just went through today, and I've got some analysis.
Okay, let me ask a crazy question. And you're young, so you may not realize this, but I'm sure you watched it on NBA films and seen all this stuff. But do you remember when the Pistons weren't good enough to beat the Celtics, and it took them like 2-3 years to finally catch up to them? And then the Bulls weren't good enough to beat the Pistons, and it took them like about 3 years, 2-3 years to catch up to them. So I'm wondering now, in this microwave society that we live in, why is it a necessity for Boston to have to catch Cleveland in one offseason? So Cleveland beat them once. last year. So now if Boston gets better and say it's a 6-game series or 7-game series, aren't they progressing? So I guess I'm confused that if you don't catch a team in one offseason, then you failed. No, that doesn't mean you failed. It means that you could still be building something. Now, I think they traded the wrong person. I would love to see Jay Crowder go as opposed to Avery Bradley, but I've been saying this all along, no matter how friendly his contract is, I don't think Jay Crowder is a person every team in NBA is clamoring for. And you know, if this was next year and he only had a year left on, I think that teams would suck it up. But I don't think Jay Crowder is that person that everyone is clamoring for, whereas Avery Bradley is a great two-way player. But I'm just listening to everyone say, oh, Boston didn't do great, Boston didn't do good, and Boston – you don't have to catch a team on one offseason. I don't understand that.
I think, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's kind of what everyone thinks now. But they want to beat Cleveland because the fans all believe that Boston could be good enough to beat them. And they're all like, okay, we're really close. People are impatient. That's just the way people are now. That's the way millennials are now. We want instant gratification. We want instant change. So I think that's behind what's going on. And you're right, Crowder's contract is great. So yeah, makes sense.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening. And to be honest with you, if you look at the team that's the champs right now and the team that's the best team in the NBA right now, and with the exception of a hiccup a couple of years ago, you could really say they've been the best team for the last 3 years. Curry and Clay, right out the box, they only won like 26 games. And then they improved to like 30-something. Then they improved again. Then they got put out of the playoffs. Then they thought they were going to be a better team under Mark Jackson that second time around, and they got put out of the playoffs even earlier. So it isn't like they said, oh, crap, we're going to panic. This team, they stuck with their plan, and they got incrementally better. They weren't saying, well, if we don't catch the number one seed this year and this offseason, then we stink. No. They put it together. And Oklahoma City, obviously now Durant has left, but they pieced that together. First it was Durant. Then it was Westbrook, then it was Harden, then it was Ibaka, and they just pieced everything together. And they weren't targeting catching San Antonio in an off season. And eventually they beat them and went to the NBA Finals. Now they lost in the Finals, but there were still increments. And the teams that are good teams that, you know, don't go out and land a LeBron James sweepstakes like Miami did and Cleveland did coming back, they get better over time. They don't get better by winning an offseason of free agency. So I think the whole thing is skewed in NBA now, and I think a lot of it has to do with the ability, and I think it's good that players get to move, but just because LeBron has made teams better or helped make teams better doesn't mean that's the key to every other team in the NBA.
Right. Okay. I don't think that this trade was for win now. I think that Avery Bradley is the better player when compared to Marcus Morris. I think the Boston's losing the better player, but I think they're winning the war because of the salary that it opens up and the freedom that they get to spend now. But Avery Bradley is one of the best defensive players in the league. He's extremely underrated defensively. So I think this is actually going to make Boston weaker.
Really?
Not stronger.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. So basically, they traded Avery Bradley for Gordon Hayward and Marcus Morris. Right? So you wouldn't trade.
Well, if you make it sound that way, then that's a good trade for them. But if it's just – if you're looking at – I'm talking about Bradley for more straight up, I don't love that.
Right, but that's not what it turns out to be. It turns out to be by trading him, you get Marcus Morris and you get Hayward. And all you gave up was – as much as I like Avery Bradley. And like I said at the beginning, I would have rather seen Jake Crowder traded, but then no one's going to give you much for Jake Crowder right now. Nobody kept throwing a name, and obviously no one wanted him, and obviously no one thought the same of Marcus Smart. Some guys just fit well in certain situations better than they would fit in others. But you gave up a second-round pick, and off the top of your brain, I want you to give me 5 second-round picks that were taken this year. No one can do it. So you gave up that guy for and Avery Bradley for Hayward and Marcus Morris. That doesn't sound like a bad deal to me.
Okay, but see, now the Celtics don't have a guy in their team who can defend very well.
Marcus
Smart. Point guard or shooting guard. Not Marcus Smart. I don't think Marcus Smart is the shooter that Avery Bradley is.
He can't space the floor, but you have Gordon Hayward, who's a better shooter than Avery Bradley is.
But Gordon Hayward doesn't defend the guard spots.
Sure, well, he's about to, because they're going to probably slide him down to the two, or they're going to slide Drake Crowder down to the two, and so they're going to be interchangeable. It's a wing league now. So, and now you have Marcus Morris, who can actually play the 3 and the 4. So you actually traded away one player who plays one position for 2 players that play 2 positions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I honestly,
okay.
Everyone is saying they don't think Boston is better. I not only think Boston is better, I don't think Cleveland is going to be as good, to be perfectly honest with you. I really don't.
Cleveland,
I think Cleveland is... No, I don't believe Cleveland will be as good as they were last year.
Okay. I mean, I would agree. I mean, LeBron's not getting any younger. And, LeBron's not getting any younger. He's no way he can get better. I don't think. I mean, there's no way. So I think that, they'll be fine.
Yeah, and look
they
at
to, right.
Look at Kevin Love. Honestly, I'm a big fan of Kevin Love. Huge fan of Kevin Love. But let's be honest, is Kevin Love going to come back with some new trick that he hasn't done before? Is there something new that Kevin Love's going to break? No. Is Tristan Thompson going to break out something new out of the bag of tricks that he has? No. Is Kyrie going to all of a sudden start being a distributor? No. You know what you have. And that's why I said I don't understand why Boston had to close the gap in 1 year. And everyone is throwing out stats like, you know, Cleveland led by 15 points or more for 46 minutes of the – you know how I feel about analytics. 46%, I don't care about analytics. That was last year. If Boston stays healthy, I honestly think – I'm not saying they'll beat Cleveland, but I don't think it'll be that 4-1 runover.
Yeah, you're right. They might get 2 games.
Say
that
again?
They might get an extra game, but I said They might take them to 6.
They might, but you know what? It depends on how they take them to 6. It depends on how they take them to 6. Will it be a 4-2? Look, Cleveland lost to Golden State in 5. But in everyone's mind, did that really feel like a 5-game series? It felt like a 4-game series. It felt like Cleveland did that you're not going to celebrate on our court. Everyone had the game of their life. They hit like 20-something 3-pointers in that game. Everyone was on fire. They were living in this false hope that they could win 4 games. But it never really felt like they had a shot. Once they lost those first 2 games, you were like, everybody was like, oh, crap. But they're at home. They're no big deal. Cleveland's going to go back home. And then Cleveland is playing possibly without hitting, you know, 20-some threes, one of the best games they could play. And Golden State erased a 5-point deficit in like 22 seconds and won the game. And at that point, everyone felt, this is it. This is over. Now it's just a formality. Will it be in Cleveland or will it be in Golden State? So the Boston series felt like that. It's like, okay, well, this is now just a formality. But let's say they lose in 6 games. But every game is within 3 or 5 points. Well, guess what? They're making progress. They're getting better. So that means you're closing the gap.
I just don't see that. I don't see that happening. Maybe the margin will be closer at home, but I still think Cleveland blows them out in Cleveland. And, I mean, I think that there would be, like, maybe two close games instead of one. So maybe it'll feel like a five-game or six-game series. But they're not beating Cleveland until LeBron retires. I mean, I don't understand why we keep talking about, like, all these other teams. I mean, we know that barring an injury, it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State again. And that's just the way it is. It's LeBron, again, KD and Curry and all them. Like, that's what it's going to be. And so let's all go there.
But I think a lot of that has to do with, too, and listen, this isn't a knock on LeBron. A lot of that has to do with him being smart enough to stay in the East and keep getting to finals and taking the – not that he's purposefully doing it, so I don't get all these LeBron people calling me out my name. But by staying in the East, he's making his shot to get to the finals a lot better.
Because
East
obviously
is the weaker conference. So there's really only two teams in the East. You know, there's Boston and Washington. So we just have to see. But there's going to come a point pretty soon where, you're on the road of least resistance every year to get to the finals, but you're losing to the same team every year. So great, you get into these finals, but you're still losing.
Yeah. Well, there's something to be said. I mean, I'm not really sure what Bron's going to do if they lose again.
You know, isn't it funny? Because I know you're a big LeBron fan. Isn't it funny how he doesn't get labeled a ring chaser? And how he doesn't just go to every perfect situation to put him in the best position to win a title? But we totally, not we. Not
I mean,
me,
if it weren't for the fact that.
Tore Kevin Durant apart.
If it weren't for the fact that he went back to Cleveland, specifically a team that he was already on and drafted by, then, yeah, I think he would be able to ring chaser. But I mean, it's like, I don't think people see that he was chasing a ring. I think people see that he wanted to go back to Cleveland and get them a championship. And that's what he
I'd say part of that, and I say part of that is also he has more control in Cleveland. I mean, he's the one that really pushed for the Kevin Love trade. He's the one that pushed for James Jones to come with him. He pushed for Tristan Thompson to give more money. He pushed to bring Darren Williams on board. He pushed for – he didn't want the coach. He pushed – being very passive-aggressive, he pushed the coach out. So he puts himself in these situations. Hey, more power to him for being able to do it. But at the same time, let's not kid ourselves on this. You know what I mean? We have to at some point say – you know, he left Cleveland when he saw that they weren't going to do anything, joined up with two Hall of Famers, and then he came back to Cleveland after Kyrie was good and once he could force that trade to bring Kevin Love. So I don't want to say that it's rings chasing, but I think he chases the perfect situations and situations that he can control.
Well, that's fair, but you know what LeBron has done this offseason? Jack squat for his team. They've had numerous. There were guys that I could pinpoint that would have been perfect for that team.
Like who?
I think a guy like James Johnson, who coincidentally comes from Miami, but he would have been the.
Can't afford him.
I understand that they couldn't afford him, but we've seen these other guys take lesser contracts. And I mentioned this on Monday, to play for better teams. All right, now, I'm just saying, I mean, not everyone can live like a king, but I can't see a player being content going so long losing. Eventually they're going to make a decision and say, you know what, I'll take a little bit of money, I want a ring. And that's why I understand what Vince Carter's doing going to the Kings. He was saying all this about how you were saying he could go to Golden State or Vince Carter was going to go to Cleveland or Vince Carter was going to go to San Antonio. He's on the Kings. He's 40 years old on a team that's not going to contend. I don't know what he's doing. But
sure, I can. That's an easy answer. He's going to play for his former coach, who he loved a lot to play for, who at this point Vince Carter wants to mentor some of the young players and show them what it's like to be a real veteran. Vince Carter, I thought, and what I said was, if Andre Iguodala left, if he left, I thought Vince Carter would be a good fit. Iguodala didn't leave. So you can't afford him.
Yeah.
There are guys that you can afford. So if you can't afford him, you can't afford him. James Johnson is 30 years old. How many times, when was the last time you saw him in a commercial? Exactly.
I've never seen him in a commercial.
And never. He doesn't even do the local grocery stores. So here's a guy that's going to get $50 million, which will be the last shot he has at a good contract. And you think he wants to take a veteran's minimum exception and take like $4 million for 1 year on a hope that Cleveland will add the other additional pieces to possibly beat Golden State when Cleveland has shown that they're not even as good? You would give back $46 million when it's your last contract? Not a chance. That makes no business sense.
I mean, all I'm trying to say is that LeBron hasn't done – I mean, LeBron – needed, it was clear that the Cavaliers needed to do something in this offseason because they can't go back with the same group of players. They can't go back with the same group of players and expect a different result against Golden State. Something needs to change.
You're right. But they have no money. So they can't bring any free agents. And if they make a trade, say they move Kevin Love, which everyone thinks that's what they're going to do, but if they move Kevin Love for, say, a Carmelo, does Carmelo equal 3 more wins for you against Golden State? You have to give up a big asset to bring in a big asset. No one at this point is helping Cleveland in trades. It's not going to happen. No one's going to give them that sweet deal where...
I'd much rather have Carmelo than Kevin Love.
Okay, so you think a 32-year-old Carmelo Anthony is going to rebound the way Kevin Love does? Now, he'll give you other things. I know that. But neither one of them play defense.
Thompson should be rebounding the ball. Tristan Thompson should be rebounding the ball.
How do you do that? How did Tristan Thompson do rebounding the ball in the finals this year?
He didn't, which is a head-scratching thing, considering he's like 7 feet tall. It doesn't make any sense. He's huge.
He is huge. But you know what? Big boys like David West came off that bench and said, I'm not getting rebounds this year. I'm not Andrew Bogut. I'm not Festus Ezeli. You're not pushing me around. Changes, man. It changes. I understand what you're saying.
Oh, look.
But it changes.
Wait, can I ask you? Go ahead.
Can I ask you another question before? Because I'm going to have to jet in a minute. What do you think of the different subject? The MLB All-Star Game. What do you think of it changing to? It doesn't mean home field anymore.
I think that's a good thing. I think it was stupid that it meant home field. Although, I did like the fact that that made the players actually care and try. So it's going to be interesting to see the effort that these players put in now that there's no implications. So I think that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
All right, my man. Bye. Hey, thanks for inviting me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome. Thank you for
being
on.
All right. Hey, listen. You guys can get me at TLR on Sports. Talk to you later, Ron.
I am a mountain. Yep. I am a tall tree. All right, so that's Paul Richardson. Quick, we got a minute left, guys. Tonight is the tough finale on Fox Sports 1. Tune in tonight. Some great UFC action. And tomorrow night is UFC 213. Nunes versus Shevchenko. Interim title, Robert Whittaker versus Yoel Romero. So tune into those fights tonight. The fights tomorrow. Meanwhile, next on Monday, you're going to hear me talking about improving baseball, making baseball more fun. There's been a lot of talk about that. We'll talk about that Monday. Other than that, guys, I believe that does it for us. McGregor Mayweather, the first press conference, the first presser is on July 11th, so Tuesday. And so just tune into that because that'll be very, very fun. As always, you can catch Twitter at Ryan Dorf. Hit me up anytime, anywhere. I'll always answer your questions. Have a good weekend, guys. See you Monday. Down in the jungle, I am a marching band.